Hello, this is Justin Hollander, and welcome to the podcast, Cognitive Urbanism. Wow, so you know, today is a very special day. Those of you who are regular listeners will be happy to learn that today is the 10-year anniversary of this podcast. I can't believe I've been doing this for 10 years. Though, of course, I've been approaching it in a modest pace. Been averaging usually about 2 of these episodes per year. So it's really not been too heavy of a lift. But I am really happy to be able to have such a long record of persistence and continuing with this podcast. I have never would have imagined when I first started that I'd still be doing this 10 years later. So yeah, so this is episode that I have to also mention, this is not just an exciting day, you know, for in terms of the decade, a full decade of doing this. It's also important because I just found out last week that this podcast was ranked by a kind of a website, a Feedspot, as one of the top 30 podcasts on urban planning. So I was pretty surprised and pleased by my inclusion of the inclusion of my podcast in that ranking. So, you know, really happy to. It took 10 years, but to have gotten kind of this kind of attention. So this is actually the 24th episode. Maybe I'll do a big deal when I get to that the silver anniversary, the 25th episode. But so today, we're listening to the 24th episode. And this one is really out of the world, out of this world. This is really a special episode. We are going to be talking today about Mars. So I came up with a title for this podcast, The First City on Mars. Not a coincidence, but I also wrote a book that got published just a couple years ago by the same name, The First City on Mars. The subtitle is An Urban Planner's Guide to Settling the Red Planet. Yeah, so I am really happy to kind of use this episode to talk a little bit about the podcast. The book. The First City on Mars is really, for me, a reaction to what I was, for many years, have been watching around exploration of Mars, which is the coverage, the discussion, the scholarship has really been about how do we get there. And to a lesser extent, there's a little bit of work that has been done to kind of think about, like, well, how do you sustain life? What would a building look like if you were to build a building on Mars? How would you get air? How would you get water? What would the waste management be, right? So there's been some touching on those types of questions. Well, what about more than one building? What about getting around on the surface? What about providing for major infrastructure? So this is what us urban planners do here on Earth. And I was a little frustrated that in all the talk about Mars and all the talk about colonizing Mars, building settlements there, there was no serious scholarly look at what does urban planning have to say based on our accumulated knowledge in this field. So yeah, so that's what I did. And I kind of started off by kind of just kind of looking at the environment. This is a kind of standard planning thing, you know, an environmental analysis. What's going on there? What is the temperature? What is the topology? What are the resources in situ? What's available right there? Mars is a very unwelcoming place for humans. So let's just start with that. But the question is, where on Earth is unwelcoming? Are there places on Earth that are not a place that are easy to live, that are maybe even you would die, a human would die if they were exposed on the surface for a long time? And the answer is yes, of course there are. We're talking about the vast deserts of the world, both cold deserts and hot deserts, certainly in the polar regions. These are places that are really inhospitable. So then there's this whole winter cities movement. These are places in northern parts of Russia and Scandinavia and Canada, where people have been living for tens of thousands, if not longer, years successfully and managing these unwelcoming and hostile environments. So what can we learn from those? So and I also did a little bit of kind of historical research and thinking about like the kind of creation of like a first settlement, especially thinking about that kind of colonization process of one society kind of moving and kind of building something new somewhere else. Like, what are the kind of considerations? Here clearly there's like a lot of terrible, awful history related to that process, especially in the treatment of indigenous populations who were displaced or murdered or removed and replaced. So that is not an issue as far as we know on Mars. So trying to extract a little bit something from that history about, you know, what kind of sites were people looking for in creating new settlements? What were those environmental, again, conditions? What kind of materials were important? So then the research that I did in this book kind of went through all of the different kind of major dimensions to city planning. So everything from kind of transportation to construction to other types of infrastructure. And then talking also about psychology. Those of you who listen to my podcast or follow my work know that I'm very interested in what does it take to create environments that are going to work for people on that psychological and emotional level. There's some really compelling science around the human experience that has not really fully made it into professional urban planning practice. So I wanted to make sure that was really at the core of any urban plans that went forward in Mars. Actually, in the book, I call it the first principle, which is really focusing on that human experience, drawing on research in psychology and cognitive science and neuroscience to really come up with some really core principles for what it takes to create places that people are going to thrive in and be happy. So I've written a lot about this in a book called Cognitive Architecture with my co-author Anne Sussman. So, you know, definitely if you're interested in this stuff, definitely check that out. And I guess in many ways, the most fun part of this was looking at other examples of people who have started to kind of think about these questions and really design kind of ideas around Martian cities. And this is something that I drew from both like fiction, including Ray Bradbury's, you know, really important work in that area, but also in a lot of nonfiction work around the science and engineering applied to building cities, and all of it's very speculative, and there's not a lot of it out there, but I was able to kind of tap into that that material. And then what I really tried to do in this project was kind of extract from all of these different lessons what do we kind of need to know as we approach developing a plan. And so in Earth-based planning processes, it's really common to kind of develop principles. So that's what I did. And as a result of doing all this research over many years, I came up with, I have the book in front of me, so I'm gonna see how many principles did I end up coming up with? 30 principles across all those dimensions I was just telling you about. And just to give you like a flavor, so in terms of thinking about, that what do we learn from the kind of the history of new settlements, public spaces, you got to create centrally located public gathering spaces, and access to sunlight and greenery really should be integrated into those spaces. So that's kind of like one idea. You know, here's another one. When we talk thinking about building residential buildings or commercial buildings, radiation exposure on the surface must be taken into consideration when designing structural openings and exposed surfaces, right? So these are the kind of principles that I wrote and kind of ended the book with. But before the final chapter, I realized that was not enough and that nobody's going to read the book. You need to be able to show people the visuals of what those principles might look like in action. So yeah, so that's what I did. You know, starting with kind of thinking about, well, what would be a good site, you know, where would we build this kind of first city on Mars, and then working with our architect and designer. You know, what we did was we just started sketching out some designs of, you know, what this city might look like. So my collaborator Burke Deeker, he did these great drawings, and you know, what it does is it really shows you what it might look like, what this first city on Mars, you know, really could look like, as an expression of these 30 principles, which are all, like I said, kind of grounded in the literature, in the science and engineering. And kind of planning scholarship. So yeah, so it's really been a very exciting. I've written a lot of books over the years, and this one has really gotten a ton of attention, and so that's been really special. And I'm really hoping to be able to continue some of this work. There's been a lot of interest on going to the moon as well, and that's something that I think it's likely to happen even sooner than Mars. So, you know, happy to have a chance to collaborate with some scientists around thinking about how this type of work that I've been describing can be applied to the moon. And there's, you know, many parallels, and, you know, hoping to be able to, you know, also explore some of these questions around more just broadly space urbanism. You know, we have, as humans, colonized space. We have through the International Space Station, the ISS. People have been continuously living in that structure for over two decades. That's colonization, right? Now, that actually space station is at the end of its life. So we can expect, though, that future space stations will continue to be sent out into space. And maybe even closer, you know, further away, outer space, and some of these could even be much larger than even the International Space Station, which at its max, I believe, had 16 people on it. But we can imagine space stations that had dozens, if not hundreds, or even thousands of people living on them. And so again, these principles, this science and research around what urban planning has to offer, you know, is all really relevant for all of this stuff. So, you know, thank you so much for listening to this anniversary edition of Cognitive Urbanism. And, you know, I really appreciate all the feedback the listeners have offered over the years. So definitely don't hesitate to reach out to me. My email is publicly available. Yeah, so, you know, thank you so much, and definitely like and share. Great, have a nice day, and try again next time.